the way back when thou art in tribulation, text taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 25 to 40 and verse 30 was the theme. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the heart. Observe one late pastor. Also, the opposite of truth is not error. The opposite of truth is sin. Moses sought that the people of Israel will follow the Lord, keep themselves pure from sin, from idolatry. Idolatry will incur God's wrath against sin, and their chastisement would be deportment from the land. However, there is a way back if they would repent and wholeheartedly come back to the Lord. Verse 29 says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Moses was making a future projection that should Israel apostatize and depart from the Lord to go after the gods of the land, doing evil, they would provoke him to anger. God's wrath will be severe. The consequences will be delineated for their understanding to lead them to a life of service and obedience, giving glory to God. In their waywardness, should they be tempted and have fallen, there is a way back. Moses exhorted them to set their hearts right before God. Proverbs 4:23, Solomon says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, the believer's thought life, and the outworking of it is a spotlight of our text here. For from the thought comes the actions, habits, the habits, destiny." We are who we are by what we think. How do you think? Our text tells us that we are to think and feel and respond biblically for our safety, security, sanity, and sanctity. And God is particularly concerned about our thought life, the inner life that man cannot see, the unsaid, the unseen, unheard, our intentions, our tendencies, our feelings, the makeup of the inner being, which Solomon calls the heart, and its movements and motions. He tells us, "Let the word of God convict, correct, construct a heart to bring forth a life that God will make good." Jeremiah warns us in Jeremiah 17 verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it?" For as the old saying rightly points out, the natural heart is a fountain of poison. The purified heart is a well of living water. As the fountain is, so must be the streams, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus observed in Matthew 12:34-35, he says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things." The heart is that place where words and actions emanate or flow out. The heart is the command center of the human personality. And therefore, the admonition is to guard the fountain, lest the waters be poisoned, and therefore the corruption of the heart, the pollution of the springhead, where all life's current rise, must be a matter of grave concern for God's people. Good or evil, It is the heart that brings the good or the evil to fruition. And the issues of life speaks of the evil effects of the wicked heart that kindles fire and destruction. Moses warns Israel concerning their future apostasy. What will they do in view of their falling away, tempted? There is a way back, he tells us. Turn to the Lord thy God, verse 36 to 31. Ask now of the days that are past, verse 32 to 34. Know that the Lord, he is God, 35 to 38. Consider in thy heart, verse 39 to 40. So he tells them, turn to the Lord thy God. When thou shalt beget children, verse 25, and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a golden image, a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. I will call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye should soon perish from off the land wherein ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you, and there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. By the time of the prophet Isaiah, he was calling heaven and earth to witness Israel's departure from God. We see this during our text study during the prayer meeting. Verse 2 of Isaiah 1, one of Isaiah's sermons that he has recorded for posterity. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. We see here the reason for the broken heart of Isaiah, because he gave a sketch of the whole history, rich with the grace of God, but dragged down by depravity and rebellion. Wickham, verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. When God sends his wrath, they would turn to him again. He shall forgive them and restore them. The Lord continues to send his prophets to plead their repentance and return to God. Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. the grace of God, when we would turn back to Him, sins can be forgiven. Indeed, there is a way back. Sin has to be dealt with, confessed, and forgiven. 1 John 2, verse 1 to 2. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation. The word propitiation means satisfaction. Satisfaction. He satisfies the justice of God, the justice of a holy God against sin. Right? The righteousness of God demands that sin be dealt and paid for, and God's way by which He dealt with sin is that He Himself has to take on the punishment for human sin, that human sin may be properly dealt with. So there are many things that God did that He just say a word and it's done. But for human sin, it was not just that, you see. It took Him the entire redemption history to enact, evoke the redemption that is needed to save us. So do we understand how precious we are in the sight of God? He is the Creator, and yet He had to go through the length and the breadth and the height and the depth in order to save us. 1 John 1, verse 9 to 10. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Turn to the Lord thy God, verse 26 to 31. Ask now of the days that are past, verse 32 to 34. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon earth. When God created man upon earth, what was the earth like? A great paradise, isn't it? There was no sin. Man lived in great joy in the midst of the paradise that God has created for him. And since the day that God created the earth and asked from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been anything as this great thing or hath been heard like it, did ever God, ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire? Or hast thou heard and lived? Or hath God assailed to go and make him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord thy God for you in Egypt did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Recall how the Lord has led them, delivering them from their bondage in Egypt and caring for them in the wilderness. Great wonders were wrought, how the Lord favored them and helped them. Can they not see and recall? Even in war, the Lord was there to fight their battles. They had no lack. Why were they departing from Him? Isaiah showed Israel their utter ungratefulness after what the Lord hath done for them, placing them with peace and prosperity in the promised land. Isaiah 1 verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Wickham said, well, here, dumb animals, the ox and the ass, have the capacity to recognize where they are going to get their food. But Israel does not know, and my people do not understand. They are worse than enemies. Animals never sin, just people sin. Only people are depraved. Only people will be judged. But God expects a few things from animals. At least they know where they get their nourishment. But my people Israel, the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, has forgotten me. So he charges them, as Matthew Henry rightly observed, with base ingratitude, a crime of the highest nature. Call a man ungrateful, and you will call him no worse. Let heaven and earth hear and wonder at God's gracious dealings with such a peevish, provoking people as they were. I have nourished and brought them up as children. They have been well fed and well taught. I have magnified and exalted them. Not only made them grow, but made them great. Not only maintained them, but preferred them. Not only trained them up, but raised them high. We owe the continuance of our lives and comforts and all our advancement to God's fatherly care of us and kindness to us, their ill-natured conduct towards him who was so tender of them. They have rebelled against me. They have revolted from me. They have been deserters, traitors against my crown and dignity. Matthew Henry. Turn to the Lord thy God. Ask now of the days that were past. Know that the Lord, he is God. Verse 35 to 38. Unto thee it was observed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought them out of his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. So on the Lord's Day, we are learning what are those words that the Lord said to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. And we are not to forget, and we are to be reminded, so that Israel will be a society to the praise and honor of God. And because he loved thy fathers, that's the reason, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought them out of his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. God has given them his laws to guide them as a people and as a nation. Can they not see God's love for them? Matthew Henry commented well here. He says, never did God do such a thing as any for any people. The rise of this nation was quite different from that of all other nations. They were thus dignified and distinguished, not for anything in them that was deserving or inviting, but because God had a kindness for their fathers, he chose them. See the reasons of free grace. We are not beloved for our own sake, but for his sake, who is the great trustee of the covenant. God made a promise, and God fulfills his promise. They were delivered out of Egypt by miracles and signs, in mercy to them and in judgment upon the Egyptians, against them, against whom God stretched out his arm, which was signified by Moses stretching out his hand in summoning the plagues. Indeed, God showed great wonders to deliver them. They were designed for a happy settlement in Canaan. Nations must be driven out from before them to make room for them, to show how much dearer they were to God than any other people were. Egyptians and Canaanites must both be sacrificed to Israel's honor and interest. Those that stand in Israel's light, in Israel's way, shall find it at their perils. So know how God has kept them, that He indeed is God, you see. None other could rival Him. Pharaoh was raised to pronounce His glory. The fourth thought, consider in thy heart, verse 39 to 40. Know therefore this day, and consider in thy heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven, above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes, and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may be well, it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. The word consider means to return, to turn back. He urges the fatal consequences of their apostasy from God, that it would undoubtedly be the ruin of their nation, Matthew Henry. The contamination of the good heart did not begin on earth, but in heaven. Evil did not begin on earth with the disobedience of Adam and Eve in their first sin to partake the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But evil began in heaven with the fall of Lucifer, the archangel, with five thoughts of rebellion against his maker. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For as thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sights of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sights of the pit. Ezekiel 28 verse 17. Pronounce what happened. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Notice it began in the heart. No actions taken. Sin is first conceived in the heart. Solomon says in Proverbs 16 verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit, a proud heart, may not be seen by others, but known only to the person and definitely to God. How we need to nip it in the bud and repent immediately. For Lucifer allowed the wicked thought of rebelling against his creator to fester in the heart, and notice the development of thought. I will ascend into heaven, I will then exalt my throne above the stars of God, then I will sit upon the judgment seat of God, and I will ascend above the heights and the clouds, and finally I will be like the Most High, the anointed cherub of God, wanted to be like God. This is the serpent that came in the Garden of Eden to tempt our first parents, Adam and Eve. You know, the serpent, the serpent came, right? The Lord cursed the serpent, and it will crawl, right? But before the curse of the serpent has, well, it's described to have its limbs, you see. And we see it in the world today. Many of the Asian nations has a dragon for their flag, national flag. And if you look at the China itself, you see the red dragon. That's their symbol. Of rebellion. And it's frightening, isn't it? Then you see 100 years ago, the coin that King George minted when he ascended to the throne, you see him slaying the dragon. He was on a horse with a spear, slaying the dragon. You see, when men come to God, they make symbols in order to help us to see. That's no pride, but that is the slaying of evil, you see, by a contrite heart. And then there is also Russia, right? Russia, before they have their new flag, right? Their old flag also, the slaying of the dragon. So again, you see where they stand, who they are. When there is a work to go back to God, when the rulers have a fear of God, there is help. There is help. There is hope. So you see here, the anointed cherub of God wanted to be like God. This is the serpent that came in the Garden of Eden to tempt our first parents, Adam and Eve. The scheming of the heart to rebel against God starts with a mere thought. How we need to guard our thoughts, brethren. From the fall of Lucifer, we learn of the subtlety of the sin of pride. It begins with a thought. Left unchecked, it results in the most drastic fall. For the fallen angel, there is no recourse. Unlike men, when we will repent, we make right with God, He makes a right way for us. All the effects of the misery, suffering, death, hatred, pain came as a result of that first thought in the heart of Lucifer. So the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy heart, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And Paul says in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." You recall our church camp theme in 2020. Think on these things. Think on these things. The Lord taught us. A neglected Bible is a sad proof of a heart cold towards God. The Bible, the book of human experience, helped us to make a right way. A healthy thought life, guided and guarded by God's wisdom, brings life and health to a person. Here is a description of the prosperity of the soul. Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." When God gave His laws to the nation of Israel, these were laws that helped to strengthen and bless the nation. It covers all aspects of their national life, as we were studying on the Lord's Day. In fact, the law that we inherited in Singapore has its origin from God's law. One such law governs the sanctity of marriage, that it is between a man and a woman, and not a man and a man and a woman and a woman. Out of all observance, watch your heart. The motions of sin begins with a thought. Because of sin, man is captive to lawless thoughts and evil impulses. So Moses said to the children of Israel, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, lest thou depart from thy heart, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. God makes man in his image, as a thinking being, to think his thoughts after him, and thereby man would realize his true fulfillment. Sinful man, however, hates God's thoughts and prefer his own, but with what disastrous results. So Moses painted the disastrous results, but he also painted the way back after they have fallen. Conclusion: God is far-sighted, knows the end from the beginning. He guides us well. Let us endeavor to follow him all the way. Amen. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen us to know thy holy will and grant us thy grace to obey and follow thee for thy own honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.